Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, January 13th, 2010. You're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. And this is Air Cascadia, long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Olympic resistance crossed swords with Olympic security at Douglas College in Vancouver, B.C.
I remember when all this was green. Rural reserve acreage is on the block again.
And Haiti, one of the hemisphere's poorest nations, is hit by a 7.0 earthquake.
Portland area weather today, showers, high near 49, south-southwest wind around 23 miles an hour. Tonight, a 40% chance of showers, otherwise mostly cloudy with a low around 43. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, showers, and temperatures in the high 40s.
And first, we go to regional news from around Cascadia. Before you get too excited at the prospect of a Kitts Harbour comeback, know this. The former governor is on board the biomass bus. Anyone who's been paying attention knows that biomass means stripping the forests of the fallen leaves, branches, and logs that build new forests. Without this so-called debris, the forest floor would be a dead zone. The earth would literally die. But, of course, this eventuality would prepare the way for industrial tree farms saturated with weapons-grade fertilizers, pesticides, and herbicides. Kitts also has green jobs on the agenda and foreign investment in Oregon. But that biomass should be a red flag for anyone who cares about Oregon's forests or Oregon's future, for that matter.
Workshare began in the recession of the early 80s. The program allows employers to cut hours for workers who can then collect part of their unemployment benefits to help make up for their lost earnings. In recent recessionary times, employers were able to reduce layoffs or avoid them altogether by using the low-profile state program. But now employers have reached a point where their workshare employees are taking more out of the state's unemployment insurance fund than the employer pays into it. So the popular workshare program becomes yet another social safety net that falls by the wayside. This is just the beginning of what promises to be an interesting year. Unemployment insurance can only be extended so far, and as the patience of the long-term jobless runs out, the system staggers toward total collapse.
It's hard to call a general strike when no one's got a job. Reuters produced this milquetoast assessment of the anti-Olympic movement this week. Quote, Vancouver's anti-Olympics groups say their complaints go beyond just local issues, and they hope the event on Canada's Pacific Coast will become a focal point for a revitalized international anti-globalization movement. Close quotes. Well, they got that right, but it goes a lot further. For a report from the street level, my guest this morning, Joseph Jones, with Olympic Resistance, joins us with a real-time, real-world report. Welcome back to Air Cascadia, Joseph. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me back.
Well, a lot has been going on. Finally, the world is beginning to take notice of some of the issues that the Olympic resistance is bringing up. These are issues of stolen land and indigenous rights and, of course, the iniquity of bringing what is really a party for the very wealthy to a place where the environment is in trouble and human rights and social justice is always a question. Talk a little bit about some of the events that have happened recently.
Okay, well, just yesterday an email went out that it would be okay to have tables at Douglas College midday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday this week. 2.5 hours later, no. Security tried to escort people off campus and said, quote, they were not allowed to protest the Olympics on campus, unquote.
And these tables...
So much for critical thinking.
These tables, the information that they provide, what was the nature of that information at the tables?
I'm not directly involved. I just got this email. I've been away for half a week. I'm appalled at what I'm finding when I get back home.
So talk a bit more about where is the resistance right now? It's coming up very soon in February. The games open. What have been some of the tactics and strategies that you've seen deployed in the interests of social justice?
Well, it's more like the oppression of social justice. We had someone going down, I think you reported on this in December, and was held for 6 hours on the U.S. side of the border, sent back to the Canadian side for 2 hours, interrogated for what would amount to a full working day before being allowed to return to Vancouver after being told that she could be subject to 2 years in prison if she tried to enter the United States again in the next 6 months.
Then this woman, what about Amy Goodman, right?
Amy Goodman was the preceding month, November. It was sort of going in the other direction. She was blindsided. She had no idea. They started asking pointed questions like, are you going to be talking about the Olympics? And she said, oh, you mean Obama going to Copenhagen? She didn't even have an idea, I think, that it was an issue.
And the police presence, word has it that there are astounding numbers of additional police.
There are. I went to a meeting with a couple of the top cops, and they were talking about in December. And they were talking about the numbers. At that point, the RCMP, the Integrated Security Unit, the heavy-duty security, had just reached a number of 500. This month, they are expecting to hit 6,000. The overall total, I understand, is to be 14,800 police of various sorts.
And at this point in time, can we expect? What do you expect the confrontation to look like? Do you expect, in fact, a confrontation?
I expect it to take many different faces. I'm just hearing about something that sounds quite harmless and festive and safe for families occurring on February the 6th, a Saturday. It's kind of a festival, and it's really funny. It's called the Squelcher. There will be a giant fire extinguisher, symbolically thinking about the torch that is coming that it would like to put out. And there will be bands and clowns and jugglers and that sort of thing.
So visitors coming to see the Olympics are going to be met with protests and expressions of extreme anger, in some cases, at the way Indigenous people have been treated. How do you see the message communicated? What will visitors to the Olympics, people, you know, coming to watch, what will they take away from this experience? Anything new, anything learned?
Oh, well, unless they spend their life inside of a limo, which many of them will, they will see some startling things in the streets, not least of which will be still some of our homeless people. Even despite last-minute efforts to create lots of shelter spaces, they just announced one in the newspaper yesterday, there is an admitted gap of something like 300 or 400 spaces for people who will still be living in the streets unless they have been disappeared. And of course, the provincial government brought in a special act in December called the Assistance to Shelter Act. We had a sizable protest in the street mid-December on that. We call it the Olympic Kidnapping Act. It says that police can use force to take homeless people to shelters, and there's no specification as to where that might be. There are rumors, and again, I have no confirmation on this, of shelters or compounds as far away as the interior of British Columbia, hundreds of miles.
That's a chilling thought. Thank you so much for that. My guest has been Joseph Jones with the Olympic Resistance. And again, thank you so much for joining us on Air Cascadia today, Joseph.
You're welcome.
Portland is still trying to convince the Environmental Protection Agency that we don't need an expensive new water treatment plant. Isn't it odd that the EPA is more concerned with Bull Run than with the Willamette River? If the feds want the city of Portland to shell out the money for this project, why not address the bigger problem first? Portland nonetheless hopes that frequent testing of water from Bull Run will appease the EPA. With $100 million at stake, this year could be crucial for Portland's water supply.
Not only that, Portlanders finally be able to pronounce the word cryptosporidium. Tualatin has just bought nearly 3.5 acres along the Tualatin River Greenway using $400,000 from Metro's Natural Areas Program. This, of course, thanks to long-sighted voters who approved the Natural Areas Bond measure back in 2006. The property is on Hazelbrook Road west of Jurgens Park. It includes 235 feet of riverfront land. The land will be integrated into the park and is part of the city's goal in creating a riverside trail. Developers, take note.
This from the Medford Mail Tribune. Oregon officials have fined the Federal Bureau of Land Management $5,000 for spraying polluted water onto the land in the Hyatt Lake Recreation Area near Ashland, unquote. $5,000? Wow. Did they say $5,000? That sends a pretty strong message, huh?
That'll put the fear on them.
Yeah.
They won't be polluting that area anytime soon. Why can't we just leave nature in peace? Let it do its job and we'll do ours, which, of course, is starting indie rock bands, selling weed, driving cabs, and running hedge funds. Apparently, agribusiness greenhouses have been using commercially domesticated bumblebees for pollinating crops. But, of course, these bees carry deadly pathogens. Conservation groups want federal agricultural authorities to start regulating shipments of the bumblebees in order to protect wild bee populations from the deadly diseases that the commercially raised ones seem to harbor. Four species of bumblebees, once common in the United States, have seen drastic declines. It is rather naive, though, to expect the federal agricultural authorities to do anything, since they work hand-in-hand with agribusiness.
Yeah. Here's a story. A man walks into a Kinko's and hands an employee a note that reads, "This is a robbery. I'll wait outside for the police. Sorry." Then, true to his word, he waits outside for the cops. He's arrested. No robbery charges because he didn't have a weapon and didn't carry out the robbery. But the perpetrator was taken to the Multnomah County Jail for investigation of initiating a false report. American existentialism is alive and well.
It's a good thing to know. Okay, I remember when all this used to be green. You hear that all the time. Every generation, every successive generation looks around at the strip malls and says, "I remember." That phrase in various forms echoes silently across America's dead-end strip malls, but it seems more people are taking the long view and finally seeing what they stand to lose. Farmers and conservation groups have formed an unlikely coalition against the region's proposed development, a group that includes 1,000 Friends of Oregon and the Washington County Farm Bureau. Says only about 15,000 acres should be set aside for future urban development in Clackamas, Multnomah, and Washington counties. Another 6,000 is still in play. However, the Home Builders Association of Metropolitan Portland is outraged at the challenge to its vision of ticky-tacky Levittown sprawl. We'll see how the two sides measure up.
A massive 7.0 magnitude earthquake has struck the Caribbean nation of Haiti. The extent of the devastation is unclear, but there are fears thousands of people may have died. Haiti's worst quake in two centuries hit south of the capital, Port-au-Prince, yesterday, wrecking the presidential palace, UN HQ, and other buildings. A large number of UN personnel were reported missing by the organization. Many people spent the night outside amid fears of more aftershocks. The Red Cross says up to 3 million people have been affected. And we'll have more on this coming up on Flashpoints.
And somehow, in some way, even though Haiti is a distant country, this affects us. If a butterfly beats its wings in Canada, it's felt in Argentina. Somehow, some way, this affects all of us, so take note.
This has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, January 13th, 2010. Engineering is Kurt Lauer. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Chris Andre is the producer. I'm Liam Delta.
This has been Air Cascadia News and Comment on KBOO, your community radio at 90.7 FM in Portland. KBOO.fm on the web. Missed Air Cascadia? Keep firing and your aim will get better. You can listen to past programs at KBOO.fm. Check on Air Cascadia in the archives. Your support, and your support only, keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, flashpoints, the earthquake in Haiti, and prisons in occupied Gaza.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. And have a good day.